Well, this morning we'll be in chapter 29 of Isaiah. I'll begin by reading it. Woe to Ariel, the city where David dwelt. Add you year to year, let them kill sacrifices. Yet I will distress Ariel, and there shall be heaviness and sorrow, and it shall be unto me as Ariel. And I will camp against you round about, and I will lay siege against you with a mount, and I will raise forts against you. And you shall be brought down, and shall speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and your voice shall be as one that has a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. Moreover, the multitude of thy strangers shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the terrible ones shall be as chaff that passes away. Yea, it shall be at an instant suddenly. Thou shalt be visited by of the Lord of hosts with thunder, and with earthquake, and great noise, with storm and tempest, and the flame of a devouring fire. And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her and her munition, and that distress her, shall be as a dream of a night vision. It shall even be as when a hungry man dreams, and behold, he eats, but he awakes, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreams, and behold, he drinks, but he awakes, and behold, he is faint, and his soul has appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. Because the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and has closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. The vision of all is become unto you as the works of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray you. And he says, I cannot, because it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, and I pray thee. And he says, I'm not learned. Wherefore the Lord, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe to them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who sees us, and who knows us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the things framed say to him that framed it, he had no understanding? Is it not yet a little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as the forest? And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off, that make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproves in the gate, and turns aside the just for a thing of naught. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale. But when he sees his children, the work of my hands in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name, and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmur shall learn doctrine. Now let's go back and see what he got to say, because there's some good stuff in this one. Just like last week, it was a good one. Woe to Ariel. What is Ariel? Jerusalem. It's Jerusalem. It tells you the next part of the sentence, Ariel, the city where David dwelt. And Jerusalem actually has about 14 different names, pretty close to that. It's Jebus, Jerusalem, Zion, there's a whole bunch of Ariel, there's just a whole bunch of names. And if you don't go look at this stuff, you'll never understand what they're talking about. So we're talking about Jerusalem. He said, add ye year to year, let them kill sacrifices. Who's he talking to? The Jewish people were the only one that did the sacrifices in Jerusalem, right? They were the ones he were talking to. He wasn't talking to any of the other strangers or Gentiles. He was talking to the Jewish people. He said, yet I will distress Ariel. Ariel being Jerusalem, but what part of Jerusalem do you think that is really talking about?
Later.
Well, how about Mount Zion? Later on in the chapter, we get to there, you know, to show what it's talking about. But David lived in a higher part. He was in, what, there was three mountains in Jerusalem, Ophel, Moriah, and Zion. Okay, representing the three covenants, the 3 days. So we're talking about the ultimate high place, and that's Mount Zion. He said, yet I will distress Ariel, and there shall be heaviness and sorrow, and it shall be not be, but become to me, not unto me, but to me as Ariel. So he said, once I distress Israel, Ariel, once I do that, I'm going to perfect her through the trials and tribulations and pressures that I put on her. Then she's going to be just like the Ariel of the spirit realm. That's what he's saying. Once I perfect her, once I run her through her tests, and once I mature her up, she'll be just like I want her to be.
Good one.
Yep, be the good wine for last. And then here's verse 3. He tells you what he's going to do. Now, you know, everybody wants to blame a devil, don't they? It's the devil's fault. And Flip Wilson brought that to the forefront real good, because he was mocking the church is what he was doing because of their ignorance. He says, I will camp against you round about and will lay siege against you with a mount, put a mount, ramp to build up on you, and I will raise forts against you. Who's saying this? God is saying it through the prophet Isaiah. And you shall be brought down and shall speak out of the ground. Why do you think he said you'd speak out of the ground? He wasn't saying you was going to be underneath the surface of the earth, was he? You're speaking out of your Adamic nature, the lowest realm you are. We're created from the dust of the earth. We're not going to speak from the spirit realm because we won't listen. So we're going to be speaking out of the dust. And he said, your speech shall be low out of the dust. Right? That word dust is the dry earth. The dry earth was what Adam was before God put his breath in him.
Life.
Correct? Adam was just dust, just dried dust, until God put his life into him and he became a living soul. It says, then your voice shall not be, but become, shall become as of the ground, out of the ground, and your speech shall whisper out of the dust. So he said, everything you say and do is going to come from the dust realm until God gets you ready. Be worthless stuff, just speaking out of dust. And that's where the church realm is. It's really doing nothing to perfect them until God is ready with them. He's going to leave them playing in the sand and the dust.
So speaking all the first and second day until they get perfected.
Now, their first two realms, and just like Jesus said in the Gospels, he said, in the first 2 days I do miracles and cures, and on the third day I'll be perfected. It's the same with us. He's our older brother, and we're not going to be perfected till we come to this third understanding, this greater understanding.
The New King James says your voice shall be like a medium's out of the ground. So
yeah.
They're speaking out of their soul.
Right. Well, it says in the King James is be as one that has a familiar spirit out of the ground. But that those words are added. Those ones about the familiar spirit, that's...
I was thinking about it. Samson.
Samuel.
Samuel.
Yeah. Talked. Well, King Saul spoke to Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's what they're doing here, you know. I mean, they added some words there. Okay, verse 5 says, moreover, the multitude of your strangers shall become like what? Fine dust. That's the lowest realm there is. And the multitude of the terrible ones, or the terrifying ones, shall be as the chaff that blows away. Yea, it shall be in an instant, suddenly. So he's saying all this is going to come upon you in these first two realms. He said the small dust and the terrifying ones. There's two realms there. Okay? And that's where it all comes from. He said right there, it'll happen in an instant in those first two realms. You won't even see it coming. God will do it when you least expect it. See, if God tells you, hey, I'm going to come around here and put a test on you. You're going to try to prepare yourself, aren't you? But when he catches you flat-footed, not ready for anything, you're going to find out who you really are. You know the nature and character that's in you when he puts you under the pressure. Okay? Verse 6, he goes on and says, "You shall be visited by the Lord of the masses with thunder." Every time there was thunder being spoken of in the Old Testament, it was God speaking. Was it not? Every time God spoke, they heard thunder. But the ones that hear the word of God, that have the ears opened, guess what? They heard what God said. The rest of them said, there's thunder. So with thunder and with an earthquake, when you don't understand what's happening and you hear that loud thunder, let's just go to the natural right now because that teaches you about the spiritual, doesn't it? You hear that big clap of thunder, lightning cracking and thunder, what's most people do? They cower down, they fear, they're in fear. With the, it says, earthquake and a great noise, with a storm or a hurricane is what it should say, storm and tempest is a hurricane, and the flame of a devouring fire. And in Deuteronomy, he says he makes his ministers a flaming fire. Okay?
I think that earth is coming to an end.
Well, our earth is coming to an end.
But I mean, yeah. Outside the natural.
Outside the natural, they think something very terrible is happening, but it's really something very awesome happening. God is doing away with the part that's destroying us and hindering us to walk to the fullness he's called us to be. You can see that consuming fire in Deuteronomy 4:24 and Deuteronomy 9:3. And you can even see something about it in Hebrews 12:29. I'm not going to go there today, but just read the verses so you can look at them if you want to. Deuteronomy 4:24. Deuteronomy 9:3 and Hebrews 12:29. Okay, in verse 7 it goes on and says, "And the multitude of all nations, all the imaginations in our mind." That's what he's talking about. This is individual first and foremost, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So all the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, and who is Ariel? What does Ariel literally mean?
Lion of God.
Lioness. Well, it should be lioness. We're talking in the female context, the bride. Okay? Okay, I know. I understand. And it said the lioness of God, okay, even all that fight against her, see there's a female there, and her munition, or her, the word munition should be stronghold, fight against her and her stronghold, and that distress or oppress her shall become as a dream of a night vision. Okay, when a dream of a night vision is realistic to you until you have some illumination, would that be true? Well, that's what I said, an illumination. Same thing, just waking you up. So those dreams seem real to everyone, and they're very frightening to people having dreams, but yet when the light comes, just like in the morning when you wake up, you say, "Oop, it's gone." How long did it take it to flee? It was instantly. He said, "It shall be even as when a hungry man dreams, and behold, he eats, but when he wakes, his soul," or literally his the man, "is empty." Not his soul, but the man is empty. I mean, you can dream in your all night long about eating all these great foods, and you wake up, it didn't do you a bit of good, did it? And that's what he's telling you when you fight against what God is doing in your life. That's what you're becoming. A man that's eating and never getting full. Never being satisfied. Or when a thirsty man dreams, and behold, he drinks, but he awakes, and behold, he is faint. And the man is what? He has an appetite for drink and food. He's nothing is sustaining to him. Nothing's fulfilling to him. So shall the multitude of all the nations, all the imaginations be that fight against Mount Zion. See, there's where we're talking about Ariel. There's Mount Zion. There's where he calls it Mount Zion.
Number three.
Huh?
Number three.
There it is. See, but he said, that's what he said in the first verse, that all those that come against Ariel. Okay? Verse 9 goes on and says, "Stay yourselves." Literally, it should say delay or think about it, slow down, "and wonder." cry ye out and cry. But that word cry doesn't even say cry. There's nowhere in the context.
It says blind yourselves.
Blind yourselves and be blind. Now why would they put cry? If you don't look, you know, you never know. But that's the rendering you have, the translation you have, Lisa, is correct. It should say blind yourselves and be blind. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. You know what they're drunk on? No, they're drunk on religion. He let them have that religion to be drunk. He got them drunk on that false revelation, what they believe in the natural realm to be God. In verse 10, he goes on and said, because the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of a deep sleep. Oh my God, I've seen them so high, they just run around on the tops of the pews and do all kinds of crazy things, spin around like tops and do all kinds of weird things, and none of that is God. I had this one lady one time said she would just twitch and jerk all the time like she was epileptic almost, and that was when she was having a spiritual moment. And she said, my husband told me that I had a demon. And she called me about it. And she said, my husband said I had a demon. And I said, and? And she said, well, what do you think? And I said, I don't think so. I know so. And she said, what? And I said, yeah, you got a religious spirit there. And she said, no. Said, someone prophesied and laid hands on me and gave me this, you know. I said, no, they didn't. They gave you something, but it wasn't what you thought it was. She said he'd make Jerusalem a trembling. I said, trembling and jerking and having seizures is not the same thing, you know. I said, you got a religious thing here you need cleared up, you know. You're not where you think you are in that. So she hadn't called for a long time. But her husband had it right. He pegged her, you know. But she got blinded on it. She loves it, and so do most people that it's involved with it. But God, every now and then, God brings someone through that for His purpose. It has nothing to do with us. It has nothing to do with what we say to them. It's what God wants them to hear. He said, but He has put a deep sleep and has closed your eyes and the prophets and your rulers and the seers has He covered. And the vision of all is become to you as the words of a book that is sealed. So what's he telling you? If the book is sealed, what can you understand about it? So you see, they're reading this book, but it's sealed to them. God has not opened their mind to be able to understand. I'm not talking about the book of Isaiah. I'm talking about the whole book, the whole Bible, which men deliver one to one that has learned, saying, read this, I pray you. And he says, I cannot because it's sealed. See, he knows his understanding's there. He don't even have it. Jesus' mother talked in the Gospels when... The first miracle did turn the water into wine. His mother said early in that chapter, was that John chapter 2? I think it was. Anyway, he said, they want wine. His mother said, they have no wine. They want it, but they don't have it. They know. They know they don't have it. And I'm going to tell you today, most of the church leadership knows they have no wine. They know they have it, but they're going to keep the face up, to keep their appearance up. They can't admit, I don't understand. You'll never get them to admit that they don't understand.
They keep wearing their yellow suits and their green ties. And
their alligator shoes and all that stuff, and they keep dancing around. That just, you know, a dancing target's hard to be hit. You know, they're never sitting still. And it says in verse 12, and the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray you. And he says, I'm not learned. I don't know how to do it. That's because they...
people you run into that says, I can't read that Bible.
Yeah, they're not. They have no confidence, see. Because they don't want to put forth an effort. A lot of people have the ability but won't put forth an effort, so in consequence, they can have nothing in return. When it comes time for a harvest, what's going to be in their sack?
A rock.
A rock, probably. Yeah.
Just like Charlie Brown.
Yeah. Wherefore the Lord says, for as much as his people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips they do honor me, but have removed their heart. What's the word heart mean? They remove their mind far from me, and their reverence toward me is taught by the precept of man.
Amen.
And right now, today, there's people running around eating a little wafer and drink a little cup of grape juice and saying, I have worshiped God. There's people speaking in tongues and screaming and shouting, and I'm not mocking making it speaking in tongues. It's a real thing at the in the realm of Pentecost, but that's something that'll pass away. Read Paul's writing. Speaking in tongues will pass away. When I became a child, I put away child. When I spoke as a child. When I become a man, I put away childish things. He said it was childish. See, you don't need that anymore. Now we see him face to face. Why do I need to talk in an unknown tongue to my Father? I realize now him and I can speak face to face.
You know your language.
That's right. You speak the language of the kingdom. That's not in tongues.
Some people are.
That's what they think, but that's not what it is. But they're taught by the precepts of man. If you just come in and pay your tithes and keep your mouth shut and just do what we tell you, you'll be okay. We'll get your ticket punched for the bus. See? That's not the truth. But you know the churches are filled this day full of people that believe that because that's what they've been told. And they'll fight you tooth and nail for it because that's their false hope that they're holding on to. If you take that away from them, what have they got?
Rock.
Yeah, a rock. They ain't got nothing. If you take the false hope, there's nothing left. So to them, false hope's better than no hope at all.
Yeah.
See? And if God wanted to take it away from them, don't you think he would? So I'm not going to take their false hope away from them. I'm not out there having a war with the religious system of man that's in this religious system they call church on the earth. I'm not having a war with them.
Trying to take a bone away from a dog.
Yeah, you better watch, you'll get bit, you know. So anyway, I know that I will expose at times to certain people whenever I feel led to, and other times I keep my mouth shut because I know it's no concern of them. They're not involved in this.
Do the will of the Father.
Yep, that's right. And they're doing the will of the Father, but what they're doing. Now, in verse 14, he kind of changes the context a little bit. And he said, therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a miracle, because the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their wise men shall be hidden. Now, this is what's neat. He said, I'm going to continue to do a work. I don't care whether you know anything or not. It's not about you. God says, I don't care whether you understand anything. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and there's nothing or in no one that can do anything to stop what I'm doing. And they don't realize that him blinding some and closing their ears is his work. And if he does it, it's none of our concern, is it? We don't try to drag nobody out of nothing. If that's where God wants them, let them be there. It's not eternity like everybody thinks. It's for a time and a season. Okay, in verse 15. Woe to them that seek... Now, woe, we know what the old word means. Pain, grief, and suffering. To them that seek deep to hide their, not counsel, but their purpose from the Lord. See, when you try to hide from God, what did Adam try to do in the garden? Him and Eve tried to hide from God. That's the problem. See, the deception on top of the mistake is the problem. If you make a mistake, be man enough to say, hey, I made a mistake. God understands. You can learn from the mistakes. I preached for years. I've taught that mistakes are a gift of God. That's what grace and mercy is all about. It's okay to make a mistake. Learn from it. Don't repeat it. There's thousands more to make. Don't worry about staying on that same one from now on. You know, go on and learn some more things.
Their purpose would be like their inner thoughts behind.
Sure. They're thinking that they're smarter than God, that they can hide from God. Well, come on. That's kind of insane, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it says that their works are in the dark, and they say, who sees us and who knows us? They think they can get by with it. And you know, we see it in the ministry every day on the news. This one, I heard recently that Benny Hinn, he got caught with a hooker somewhere or something, you know. He was into something, you know, all this stuff going on. I mean, come on, these people are people, and I understand they're people. But don't put on airs that I'm perfected, and I'm better than everybody else, and y'all should be taking care of me and treating me like a king, and then I'm doing the same thing you're doing. What makes him any better than anybody else?
The people created.
I understand that, but he helped the matter. See, you could, if you don't want to be king for a day, like some of them do, all you have to do is say no. I've had the opportunity to go to big churches and pay me big salaries to do what they wanted me to do. They wanted to hire me, but I'm not a hireling. So I won't work for salaries. Okay? And I'm saying, anybody that does it, you have the opportunity. I don't think God's going to make you, but if it's in your heart to do that way, He's going to let you go there. Would you agree? He'll let you go there if that's what you... If you want the reputation, the finances and all that, go ahead and do it. But didn't He say, your reward, I am? In Exodus 3:14, I am their great and exceeding reward. I'll take God as my reward. This stuff here is just temporal. Huh?
He'll let that teach you. That
oh, yes.
Experience.
Absolutely. They probably won't like the reward of what they've done, but that's the way it is. Okay?
Sit there and fall on your face and see if that doesn't satisfy.
Mm-hmm. It does not satisfy.
Yeah. And you're in a big mess.
Yep. He says, surely your turning of things upside down, and that word turning of things upside down should literally be put into one thing, one word. Should say, surely your perversity shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. You know, the potter's clay can be shaped any way it wants to, can it? And that's why he said, all the things, all your perversity, all the things you do wrong upside down, he said, that shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. Because shall the work say to him that made it, he has made me not? Now, God made us the way we are. Does that mean... does that mean we believe what we see today? Or are we the way we were made by God? We were made in His image, weren't we? And we were made in His image, if you read this book in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image, right? But in 2:7 is when Adam was formed. So what was our beginning? What was our true Genesis face?
In God.
In God's image, not in Adam's image. See?
So,
yeah, the Elohim created the Adam, okay? God the Father is not mentioned until the fourth chapter of Genesis, so He wasn't in that creation. He let the first fruit sons of God do the creating, and we created some messes. And that's okay, because He wanted them. It's all His plan. Okay, go on with that. Verse 16 says, or shall the thing framed, it literally should say conceived or purposed, say to him that conceived or purposed it, he has no understanding? You know, there's a lot of people say, well, God just doesn't understand me. I'm different. He made you. He understands every detail of your life.
Well, he knows
not
if he's God.
Well, see, they still don't esteem him as who he is.
If he knows every hair on your head, I think he knows
a lot. He knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. See, so, I mean, I think he knows something about us. You know, he knows everything about us. Is it not... Yet a very little while, and Lebanon means white mountain in northern Israel, okay, shall be turned into a fruitful field, or literally a planted vineyard. And the planted vineyard shall be esteemed as a forest. Huh. Wonder what he's trying to tell you there.
Not as big as you're thinking.
Well, no, here, listen to what I'm going to tell you. Lebanon is a white field, speaks of righteousness, okay? Shall be turned into a fruitful field, or literally a planted vineyard. In Isaiah 5, he said, the Lord has a vineyard, planted in a very fruitful hill. Okay? That's Mount Zion. And that's what he's talking about here. And the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest. Now, you remember he said it's going to cover, he's going to cover the whole earth? So it starts in Mount Zion, but it's going to become... Yeah, the acorn has the whole forest in it, doesn't it? See where I'm going? So it's going to be esteemed as a forest. What does wood, the forest, represent?
Humanity.
Humanity. So he's telling, this fruitful field shall is going to be spread all over the earth as the forest covers the earth. So he's going to tell you, what's he telling you? That his seed is in all humanity, which we know it is, from Genesis 2:7. Okay, verse 18. And in that day shall the deaf hear. Literally, that word deaf literally speaks to Gentiles. Shall the Gentiles hear? That word hear is shama. Hear with the intent to respond positively. The words of the book, of this book. And the eyes, okay, of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness or ignorance. So they're going to see out of their ignorance and they're going to hear. That's a wonderful thing. There's a prophetic word to the world. that they cannot see, the church cannot see. The deaf and the blind shall see and shall hear. Now, God prophesied it, but they don't believe it. They just read over that and say, oh, that's just for certain people or something. He didn't say that, did he? If you're deaf and can't hear, you're definitely not what we'd call a spiritual Jew, are we?
No, because it says,
that's a Gentile.
He that has ears to hear.
Let him hear. If it was everybody, he wouldn't have said that, would he? He'd have said, everybody hear.
It says he that.
That's right, the ones that have ears, the ones he chose as first fruit. Verse 19, the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. The meek, the humble, shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among humanity shall rejoice in what? Literally, the God of Israel. That word holy one is really not, I don't like the rendering of it anyway. It's just the God of Israel. And Israel is who? Huh? Well, Israel, no. Israel was Jacob's name. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Or he changed his name to Israel, didn't he? And for the whole nation of Israel. Verse 20. Because the terrible or the oppressor, okay, is, at present tense, notice that, is brought to naught. Literally, let me read it the way it should read. Because the carnal mind is gone. Hello. What is the oppressor? The carnal mind. Is gone. And the scorner is consumed. That's the carnal mind again. And all that watch for iniquity are cut off. He just said it three times, three different ways. He's talking about the carnal mind. The carnal mind's always looking negative, isn't it? Now look at this, the context of being is, present tense. Why did he say is cut off? That's presently, it's already done when he spoke this, and yet we were not even created yet. Was not the lamb slain before the conception or the foundation of the world?
Nope.
The crucifixion was done before the world ever started, wasn't it? Before Adam, it was already taken care of. That's why God never got mad at anybody. The world sees in a natural state that God should be mad because we disobeyed Him. Because they get mad if their children don't obey. But they're looking through the eyes of the dust. They're not looking through the eyes of the Spirit, are they? So God never got mad at Adam because He already had it taken care of. He knew what was going down. They just didn't see it. And it says they make a man, and this he said this is going to be cut off, that make a man or mankind an offender by a word and lay a snare for him that corrects in the gates or the door and turn aside the just for vanity. So he said all these pastors that are doing all these religious systems that make you an offender, make you feel condemnation and guilt when you go to church. When you go in there looking for the love of God and all you come out with is condemnation and guilt. When I used to minister in the jails in here in the local county years ago, I went in there and people said, how come when I go into the churches, when I get out of jail, a lot of times I'll go to church, and when I go in there I feel bad, and when I come out I feel worse? Seriously, I had people tell me that. They said, I feel worse when I come out. I feel like I'm in condemnation and guilt. And I said, that's because they put it on you. God is saying, I love you, and they're saying, God doesn't love you unless you jump through a hoop the way we tell you to do it. See? It don't work. It never sets people free. And it says, if you continue in my word, you'll be my disciplined ones indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So the truth will set you free. So obviously what they were getting was not the truth, was it? Pretty obvious. But he said, all that's cut off. It's already done. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, verse 22, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall now not be ashamed, neither shall his face wax pale. He redeemed Abraham before Abraham was. He redeemed him. And verse 23 says, but when he sees his children, he's talking about Abraham now, the work of my hands, who's speaking there? He was talking about Abraham's children, but said the work of my hands, that was God, in the midst of him, they shall sanctify what? My name, my nature and character and authority, and sanctify the God of Jacob, and shall what?
Reverence.
Literally, here it's not really reverence. It should say, and shall stand in awe of the God of Israel. He'll stand in awe of the God of Israel because they never expected anything. When you really surprise someone, they can stand in awe of about anything, can't they? And when God comes and redeems people and shows them His love when they're expecting to be tormented for eternity, what kind of awe do you think will be there? They'll just be speechless. You know, they won't know what to do because they're expecting to be punished because of what the church is teaching versus what God is teaching. Okay. Verse 24, they also that erred in what? Nope. Their minds. They erred in their minds. You know why I'm saying in their minds? Because spirit cannot make a mistake. Is not spirit perfection?
Right.
There's only one spirit in the earth, and that's God. So they erred in their minds shall come to an understanding. That tells you where it's happening, don't it?
Right.
It's in the mind.
But they erred in their minds and were thinking through the carnality.
Right. And so He's going to bring them to understanding by the Spirit. And they that murmured shall what? Not learn doctrine, but they shall be taught instructions. They shall be taught the instructions they need. See? Someone's got to have the guts to tell the truth. Because most people's afraid to tell the truth because it goes against the grain of religious teaching and doctrines. Well, there's a few around, and I've met a few of them. They're few, but I've met a few of them, and they're wonderful people. They got the guts to say what's got to be said, and there's just not many around. Any questions? Comments?
Yes.